Amen. Good to see you all today. Good to be back. And I appreciate your preacher asking me to go ahead and preach today. I was going to do the revival conference with Brother Beck over in Monterey Park. And I was just going to come here this morning. And he said, hey, if you're coming, why don't you go ahead and preach? And I said, oh, okay, we'll do that then. Amen. And so it is good to be here. I appreciate your preacher and appreciate his faithfulness. And you know, I know your church has been through a lot. I know there's been a lot. I know a lot of people keep saying that too. I understand that. But man, I tell you, God has really blessed you all. He's blessed you with a great foundation. Blessed you with a great a man that's trying to keep that thing going. Amen. And just get on board, man. Just get on board. And I appreciate all the staff here. I always look forward to coming out here to Pacific. And I told my preacher, Brother Jenkins, a number of years ago, I said, you want to go somewhere where you can see God working and working in young people's lives and in a lot of young couples' lives and doing something. You ought to go out there and visit sometime. And I really believe that. You got something special. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. And there's a lot of people wish they had the spirit that you all have and the things going on that you have going on. And so it is good to be with you today. Again, my wife, Terry, why don't you stand up if you would? And thank the Lord for my wife. And faithful. We've been married 35 years. I turned her world upside down. I should say the Lord turned her world upside down when I was 38 years of age. And the Lord called me into the ministry, and we left everything that we knew and all their security. And I was a lieutenant in a big city fire department and had a great pension looking forward to and everything. And we just left all that and walked away from it because the Lord had called us to do something. It was tough on her in the beginning, very tough. And ladies, you can only imagine. But I thank God that He gave me a wife that has been by my side and encouraged me and truly, truly been my helpmate. And I thank God for her. Grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to Psalm 90. A couple people asked me, was I not going to set the Bibles back up? And at the last minute, I did. If you're interested, I've got a few Bibles left, and I'll be out there afterwards in the little foyer way if you're interested in picking up a Bible. Most of what I have are the smaller Bibles left. I have a couple larger ones, but if you're interested in that. Psalm 90, as we begin to read here, why don't we go ahead and stand out of respect to the Word of God here, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. There is a sleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This passage of Scripture that we've read this morning deals with the brevity and the frailty of our human existence. The truth is, this existence that we have in this life is not all that long. No matter what we think, you may be young and sitting out here today and say, man, I look at these people and, you know, I've got so many years to go in my life, but you don't know that. And our life, our existence here is just for a short time, and it's very frail. The Lord says 70 years. He's 70 years of age, and that's about the average. People, I was talking to Brother Schumpert, he's 70 years of age today, or now in his life, at this point in his life. And I was thinking about the way that the Lord has blessed him in his life. He told me he'd been preaching for 54 years. Praise the Lord, man. And man, God has been able to use him. And God's the reason why he's still here is because God's got something for him. Amen. And but I was thinking about this in respect of our of who we are, and I just want to challenge you with something this morning. You know, in verse number, I want to focus, if you would, on verse number 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." And the second portion of that scripture reads, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." The word tale there means a story or a narrative. And so what God's saying here is the life that we do live, the years that we do have in our life, we are telling a tale by the way we live our life. The question that I have for you this morning and what I want to challenge you with is just this. Just what tale has your life been telling? What story would be told about you if you were to die today? If your life ended right now, what would the tale be that's been left behind? Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few moments that we have to spend together. I pray that you'd challenge your dear people, each and every one of us. God, we need to be challenged every day about this existence and about how short it is. And God, that we may be about your business, as the theme of this church is, to make a difference for the kingdom of God's sake. Lord, please, would you speak to hearts? Would you challenge? I pray that if there's people here today that are without Christ, that, Lord, today would be the day that they would trust him as their Savior. I pray for those that are your children that live here now in this existence that you've given them. I pray that they'd see that there's something more to it and that they'd get busy about your business too. Thank you again, Lord, for the privilege to be here. And we yield this service up to you. Have your will and your way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, the truth of the matter is our lives, as I said, 70 years, but we really don't know how many years we're going to have. But you may sit here today and you may say, well, you know what? I think the tale that I'm telling is a pretty decent tale. I think that the life that I'm living a good life. I mean, I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do. I'm in church. You know, I come to church and I'm faithful there. And maybe even you say, well, I do go out soul winning. Every now and then I'll go with the group and go with them. And you know, I'm a good father, and you know, or I'm a good mother. And you know, I'm trying to do the things that are right in my home, you know, and that's my goal, is I want to be a good father, a good mother, but the truth of the matter is there's something more than that as a child of God. We need to be taking advantage of every moment that we have in this life, in this existence, to be fulfilling it to the glory of God, to doing what he wants us to do with it. I want to set up a little illustration here, a visual illustration that I hope will be something that will help us maybe even to understand it even a little bit more, what I'm going to cover today. Let me see where they put that. All right, what I want to do is I want to set up a human timeline. Okay, so I know that most of the younger people are out of here, but do we have somebody that's about 10 years of age? 10 years of age. Somebody right here? Okay, come on up here, bud. 10 years of age. If you would just stand. You can come on up here. We can get him on up here. That'd be easier for people to see. He wants to get up here so people can see him. Amen. What's your name, bud?
Noah.
All right. Noah's going to represent our 10-year-old, okay? And then I need somebody about 20 years of age. Somebody that's 20 years of age, and you don't mind standing for a little bit, okay, over here, 20 years of age. Come on up here. All right. He can hop right up. I used to be able to do that, but anyway, those years are gone. And your name again is?
Kevin.
Okay, we got Noah and we got Kevin. How about somebody that's about 30 years of age? 30 years of age? Were you lying back there? Oh, my goodness. There's an altar, you know, at any time. So, okay. Somebody about 30 years of age. Come on. We got to have somebody around that age. Somebody that's back here. Okay. Come on up. Come on up. All right. So, we got Noah. We got Kevin. We got Noah. We got Kevin. And we got?
Boren.
Boren. Noah, Kevin, and Boren. 30 years of age?
32. Okay, close enough. All right. How about somebody 40 years of age? Somebody 40 years of age. Now, is she telling the truth now? Is she telling? Okay, well, if you want to come on up, ma'am. All right. At least we'll get some beauty up here with all of this, whatever you want to call it, that's up here. Amen. All right. We'll give her an opportunity to get up here. How about somebody that's about 50 years of age? All right, he's already stood up, man. He's jumped up, man. He wants to get up here, okay? So, and your name is?
Angela.
Angela, okay? And your name is?
Daniel.
Daniel, all right. Okay, he was just waiting for that. I said 50, and man, he jumped and come flying. How about somebody 60 years of age? Somebody about 60 years of age. Now, we got some chairs here. We'll let you sit if you need to after a little bit, but... Somebody 60 years of age, that's, hey, by the way, that's my age category. So anyway, somebody 60 that wouldn't mind coming up here, close to it, maybe 58, 59, 60. 58, come on up here. Well, you can be it. All right. All right. All right. Now, do we have somebody 70 years of age that wouldn't mind coming up here? Brother? Come on up. Come on up. All right. Hey, give him a break. He's 70 years old, man. Let him give him some time to get up here, okay? 70 times two. They're so kind to you, brother. And again, your name is?
Jerry.
Jerry. All right. Okay, now I brought all these people up here for the purpose of visual representation. Sometimes they're much clearer and they help us to really get a better picture. When the Lord says that we have 70 years and 10 of the years of man, 70 years of age, sometimes we think about, yeah, that's 70 years. If you're younger, you're thinking, well, that's down the road somewhere. But when you get people up here and you begin to look at the process of aging that takes place in our life, and you realize that... You know, wherever you're at on this timeline, if you're at this end of the timeline, you're looking back here and thinking, man, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. And it seems like the years have just flown by. But if you're down here where Noah's looking down here by Jerry and saying, man, that's an old man. He's way down there, man. But the truth is, Jerry's looking back and saying, where did it all go? Where did those years go by? You know, something about it, the Lord... says that the years of man are 70 years and 10, but nobody knows exactly how many days that you have to live. You do not know. I mean, sometimes life, the frailty of life, sometimes life is taken at a short age, at a young age. And we don't really know the number of years that we're going to have to live. And that's why, again, at this passage of Scripture, as I read the very last verse that I read, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because the truth of the matter is, down here, Noah, I'm sure that right now, Noah is not thinking about death. Most 10-year-olds don't think about death. But the truth of the matter is, Noah, I can tell you about a couple young men that were about your age whose life ended in some tragic circumstances. So Noah, even though you're only 10 years of age, you need to be seeking the Lord. That song was beautiful today, that Sunday school by preacher today fit right. I mean, they all fit together about this relationship with the Lord and getting where we need to be. And even as a young age, you need to do that so that you can fulfill everything that the Lord wants you to do with your life. I, being a fireman and working in and around trauma and accidents all the time, and man, I tell you, I've seen caskets all sizes. I've worked on people that have died at all ages. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying we don't know the amount of years that we have, and so we need to be focused on accomplishing what we can accomplish for the Lord every day that He gives us. Every day that we get to breathe. Remember, God is not as concerned with the amount of years that we have as He is the tale that is being told in the years that we do have. You say, well, you keep saying, when we come to the end, we don't know what time, we don't know what day, and we don't. Well, one thing about it is when we do get to the end, when we get to the end of our days, no matter how old we are, no matter where we fit on this timeline, you and I are going to have to give an account to the Lord. The Bible tells us very clearly, when this tale has been told, when this life is over, the tale that's going to be told, we're going to give an account before the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in thine ways, in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." We're going to have to stand before the Lord. It tells us over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And in verse number 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You say, well, what are we going to give an account of to God, Brother Martin? I really believe there's three things that we're going to have to give an account before the Lord. Real simple little message. They're not going to be real long, but number one is this. We're going to have to give an account of what we did with Jesus. What we did with Jesus. You say, well, that's pretty simple, Brother Martin. It is. But it's the thing that confounds the entire world. I mean, so many different people and so many different religions and people that believe in Buddha as their God, or believe in Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad as their leader, or believe in, these other different religions and other, all those gods are dead. The thing that separates Christianity from all other religions is Jesus Christ, a living Savior, a living God. And we'll all have to give an account of what we did with Jesus when we stand before him one day. You'll just think of the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." We're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account of what we did with Jesus, his gift of eternal life to us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus came and died on the cross so that every one of us could be saved. Repent and believe and be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. The world again today is trying to tell us that there's other ways of salvation. I heard somebody told me the other day that during the inauguration, one of the preachers that preached at the service that the president-elect had gone to prayed, and they were trying to get after him about the prayer that he prayed. And he was talking about, he said, you know, everybody's down on us or down because that we say that there's not multiple ways to heaven. We believe that the Bible says there's only one way to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He died on the cross so that we could spend eternity with the Father in heaven. Not a one of us deserve it. But he paid the price for us. If we'll just simply repent, believe, and Christ receive. So only one way to be saved. We teach that to our children. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Repent, believe, and Christ receive. There's only one way to be saved. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying we'll stand and give an account of what we did with Jesus. If you sit here this morning, and I'm sure this auditorium is filled with people that have trusted in Christ as your Savior. But if you've not done that, you'll stand before God one day for that. Of whether or not you received him or whether you'd rejected him. The second thing is simply this. I believe that we'll stand before the Lord to give an account to him what we did with Jesus. But the second thing, and this is so important for Christians today, what we did with the Holy Spirit. What we did with the Holy Spirit. How many of you here are saved, born again, child of God? You say, that's me, Brother Martin. I see your hands. How many of you say, Brother Martin, I believe that when I got saved, that God imparted a part of himself into me, the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible teaches us. Okay, so God put a part of himself in us. And he put a part of himself in us for a purpose and for a reason. He didn't save us just so that we could try to make it on our own or so that we could try to live this life and do the things that we need to do, being good and all that, without any help. No, he wanted us to have the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish the things that he's given us life for. You understand, God's given all of us life for a purpose and for a reason. Each and every one of us, God's got things he wants you to fulfill in your life. He knows exactly what he's trying to get done in your life, and he gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could accomplish those things, so that you could get them done. So can I ask you this morning, what are you doing with the Holy Spirit? You say, well, what do you mean? Hey, at salvation, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you, but it doesn't mean you've got the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It does not mean that you've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? Oh, it's been said before that, you know, the day that you get saved, you get all of God. But he doesn't necessarily get all of you. I mean, it's about us being yielded to that Holy Spirit of God. You see, there's some things we can do in our life that hinder that Holy Spirit and hinder his presence in our life. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be careful that we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You say, what do you mean, grieve the Holy Spirit? I mean, cause grief to him. I mean, listen, he resides in us. Do you realize that every time you act out and do what you want to do with your life or get into sin and get involved into sin, you're dragging the precious Holy Spirit of God into that? Do you not think that that would bring grief to God? As a child of God, if you go walking into a bar, do you think that that doesn't bring grief to the Holy Spirit of God? As a child of God, you go walking into a movie theater. I'm going to step on some toes here. And you go watching some R-rated movies in the movie theater and everything, you do not think that that brings grief to the Holy Spirit of God? Come on now, he's holy, he's perfect, amen. What are we doing with our lives? What tale is our life telling? Hey, we're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. We're going to have to give an account of what we did with Jesus and those that are saved about what we did with the Holy Spirit. Man, when we go to anywhere that we ought not go and drag the Holy Spirit into it, it brings grief to him. And let me tell you something, many a time that grief leads to the second thing that we can do to that Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. As a firefighter, that's what I did. That's what my job was. I was supposed to extinguish fire. The Bible, all through it, talks about the Holy Spirit as a fire, as being a fire. Man, the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you, and it's like a burning fire that burns within you, and he's trying to get you to do the things that are right and lead you in the right way and do. But when you grieve that Holy Spirit of God over and over and over again, then you end up quenching him, putting him out, extinguishing that precious fire that burns within you. It can start with something as simple as this. Man, you're saved. You're born again. The Holy Spirit gives you the opportunity to witness to somebody. The Holy Spirit says, hand a tract to that person. And you say, well, somebody else will do it, and you walk right on by. I mean, that brings grief to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, you read the Word, and the Word of God tells you to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, and you talk about things you ought not talk about. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the more you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you lead yourself down a path that quenches the Holy Spirit of God. And let me just tell you something. While you're doing all of that, you're wasting the years that God's given you. You're wasting the opportunity to tell a tale that is a good tale, that leaves behind something good, that accomplishes something for the Lord. As I said, God didn't give you and I life so that we could live it however we want to live it or do whatever we want to do. He gave us life so that we could understand that he's the God that gave us life, that he gives us eternal life if we'll receive him, and he's got a purpose for us in this life to fulfill. He doesn't give it to us so that we can just be pleased doing the things we want to do in this life. He's got a purpose for every one of us. My question again this morning is, are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you telling the tale that God wants to tell in your life? Are you making a difference for the kingdom of God? Are you fulfilling what he has for you? We will stand before the Lord, and we'll have to give an account of what we did with that precious Holy Spirit. And then the last thing is simply this: what you did for Jesus. What you did with Jesus, what you did with the Holy Spirit of God that he's given to you, and what you did for Jesus. I mean, are you right now living your life in that fullness of the Spirit? Are you living your life to fulfill what God wants to fulfill in your life? Let me just tell you something. If you sit here today and you're not involved in anything for the Lord, I mean, if you don't carry Bible tracts with you and you're not passing Bible tracts out, if you're not trying to witness to people, if the only thing you do is come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you are not fulfilling the purpose for which you're living and breathing. Amen. I am sure, Brother Meyer, that there are probably some other ways that you could use some extra people to get busy and to work and to accomplish more for God. Is that right? I would figure that. I've never met a preacher that didn't say, man, I need people for this, and I need people for that, and I need people for that. And let me just tell you something. It's not the preacher's fault, and it's not the church's fault that that more isn't accomplished. It's the people's fault. Amen. What are you saying? I'm just saying, are we busy for God? Are we trying to accomplish or fulfill something for the Lord? As I talk with Brother Shumpert, 54 years of preaching, man, still trying to go forward, has a hard time getting around and everything, but man, his life's accomplishing something for God. Amen. I talked to Brother Hocking in the back, and how many? 58 years he was a missionary in Africa. 58 years. You wonder why the man is still alive today. You wonder why? Hey, because God's got purpose in his life and it's being fulfilled. Amen. You wonder why some people die early and some people, hey, are you fulfilling what God wants to fulfill in your life? What are you doing for Christ? Do you carry Bible tracts in your pocket? Are you passing those Bible tracts out? Are you looking for opportunities to be a witness every day? Are you looking for a way to serve in your local church and do things for God? Is your heart open to the Lord? And do you pray every day, God, show me what you want me to do with my life. Show me this. I know it's your life. Like the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, you know what? I'm living this life, but I'm not living this life. Hey, it's Christ through me. Is that what's happening in your life? Are you fulfilling the things that God wants you to fulfill in your life? Are you asking him every day, Lord, show me. God, help me. Listen, I was 38 years of age when God showed me that he had some more for my life, something more he wanted me to accomplish. Now, I was in church. I was in a good church. I was faithful. I was serving the Lord. I was singing in the choir. I was working in the youth department. I was running bus routes. At one time, we were running three different bus routes. We'd run them in the morning. We'd run them in the afternoon to another area. We'd run them in the evening and bring people back from the Detroit area and people that really wanted to live for God. I was as busy as I could be. But wait a minute. I was getting busy doing the things that I thought I should be doing, but God had something more for me. And I wanted to fulfill what he had for my life. Are you busy fulfilling what God has for your life? So God hasn't called me to be a preacher or anything. That's okay. Are you busy fulfilling your purpose for breathing his air? Amen. Or are we just sitting here consuming it and living this life to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the pleasures of this life? Hey, what tale is our life telling? I go back here to this group now, and I think about these guys. I'll get them involved again. As I said here, I can go back, and I can tell you a story. I can tell you a story about an 11-year-old boy that was called to preach. He was actually called to the mission field, surrendered his life to be a missionary, and he worked with his daddy on the bus route, and he was a soul winner. 11 years of age, he was telling people about Jesus, and I mean, his life was on track, you know, fulfill what the Lord wanted. And in just a tragedy, he was a preacher's son. And in a tragedy, his dad took him out canoeing on his birthday. And him and his little friend that went with him got caught in an undertow in the river, and it sucked him down underneath. His daddy said, boy, I dove in there to try to get him out and grabbed a hold of him. And I tried to, they were pushing me down, trying to get up, trying to breathe. And he said, when the undertow kicked us out, he said, I only had one child, and it wasn't my son. It was my son's friend. And they found his son, little Nathan, about a mile down the river, about a day and a half later. This little boy that had surrendered his life to serve the Lord was done at 11 years of age. But wait now. You say, what a wasted life. What a wasted life, really? He fulfilled in his little life up to 11 years of age, fulfilled maybe more than many people that sit here today because he was living his life for the Lord. And by the way, we started a scholarship in his name at our Bible college up at Grace Baptist up in Gaylord. And every year we give a scholarship out to a missions major, a missions student, and we talk about little Nathan Hack and his life and how he lived his life and how he wanted to serve the Lord and wanted to please God. Is that the way you're living your life today? Is that the tale that you're telling today? You see, Noah, it doesn't matter what way of age we are, we got to live it for God. I can go up here at 20 years of age, Kevin. I can tell you so many people right around in between you guys and in between you two whose lives have ended early, premature, in our eyes, in our estimate. Young men in our church, a couple young men in our church a number of years ago, I've told this story here before, but 7 years ago now, that we had an accident where we lost four young men in one accident. Four of the finest young men you'd ever meet in your life. Two of them were 16, one of them was 17. They were the most polite young men. One of them, he spent one day a week in the Christian school as a 16-year-old boy begging God for revival. He fasted one day a week. The principal would let him go downstairs with nobody else down there. People didn't even know what was going on. He was fasting and praying, begging God to bring revival to the youth group. And God took him. I'm going to tell you what, we still talk about the story. We still talk about the impact that he made. And man, he tried to spend his life focused on the Lord and trying to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. Is that the way we're living today? Or are we just existing? Just going through the motions of this life and trying to fulfill. Hey, what tale is your life telling? How old are you, ma'am? 40 years of age. I can tell you of a 39-year-old lady. You probably know the 39-year-old lady that we still talk about today. She was a missionary's wife. Catherine Hudson. Came down with cancer. Passed away at 39 years of age. But her husband's still going strong. The children are still serving the Lord. Her life's still being told. The story about the impact that she made when she was in the Ukraine, being a faithful helpmeet to her husband. I can tell you a story of a 37 and 36-year-old lady that were in our church, in the home church that we came out of in Belleville, Michigan. Both of them at separate times. One of them came down with ovarian cancer. The other one came down with breast cancer. And both of them ended up dying, one at 36 and one at 37. But you know what? We still talk about them. Why? They were so faithful to the Lord. They were raising their kids right. Their kids are in Bible college today and trying to serve the Lord and trying to be faithful. Hey, what tale is your life telling today? Are you fulfilling the purpose for which God's given you breath to breathe? Brother, how old? 48 years of age. And you are? 58 years of age. Okay, right in the middle. My middle son got engaged here a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago, and to a young lady. Her daddy was a policeman. He was a canine police officer. He started the canine unit in the city that he was in. He'd been in the police department for 28 years, I believe, and just faithful man, and loved the Lord. And my son was with him in church, sitting in a good independent fundamental Baptist church Sunday morning, sitting beside him, and just shortly after they'd gotten engaged, and future mother-in-law was on the other side, and the preacher closed the service. He said, okay, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to have a word of prayer. He bowed his head, closed his eyes, and he fell over of a massive heart attack right there in the pew and died in the pew. 53 years of age. I said, wow, what a tragedy. Oh, really? I mean, to us it is. But I'm going to tell you what, the tale that the man told with his life's incredible. He was a faithful, hey, he worked in the drug unit, with the canine unit, and on the street, his street name was Preacher. I mean, the people that he had to arrest and the people that he had to haul in, he would try to witness to them, and he'd try to encourage them to get their life on track, to turn to God, that God could help them. And he was always working with the other guys in the department, trying to witness to them and trying to be a help to them at the funeral. Man, I was a fireman. I went to a lot of police and fire funerals. They're always a big deal. There's always a lot of police and firemen show up. I've never been in a funeral where there was more people than at his funeral. Man, I'm telling you, there were people from everywhere, all throughout southern Michigan and Ohio and even other states that came to the funeral that knew about him. And at that funeral, hey, it's really, really difficult thing for a police officer or fireman to break down or to, man, there were people crying all over. And when the invitation was given, there was three or four people that trusted Christ as their Savior that day. Hey, wait a minute. That was on Thursday. On Sunday, three or four more of those people came back to church again and walked the aisle in the invitation and told the preacher of the church, I don't know what it was that Dave had, but whatever it is, we need it in our life. We want three more people got saved. Why? Because of the impact that he had. I mean, he wasn't just existing. He wasn't just fulfilling what he wanted with his life. He was doing what God wanted him to do with his life. He was telling a tale that's still being told today. Man, we could talk about people up in here. But Jerry, how old are they? 71 years of age. Well, I can talk about people up in this category and this age that when their lives were over, the tale's still being told. Hey, what about old Dr. Ron Garris? Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Man, I'm telling you, while you talk about a man that lived his life to try to please God, there are the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry is all over the world today. He didn't start out good. He didn't start out with a good story in his life. The tale would not have been a good tale if he would have died when he was younger. But you know what happened? Brother Garris got saved. And from the moment that he got saved, he surrendered his life to serve God, to please him and do what he wanted him to do with his life. And when he came to the end of his years, he didn't even get to reach 70. But when he came to the end of his years, I promise you, man, when he got to stand before the Father, he could stand before the Father with tears of joy rather than tears of sorrow, because he knew that he gave his life to the Lord to fulfill what God wanted him to fulfill. I'm afraid there's many of us that sit here today that if we had to stand before the Lord right now, we'd have many more tears of sorrow than we would joy because of the life that we're living, because of the tale that's being told. As I said, you know, I can go back and I could tell stories. I could tell stories about young people that died. There's an 18-year-old young man that died in our church. They found him dead in bed one Sunday morning. But there's no sense in telling the tale. Nobody talks about him. It's not like they look at him and say, you know, not like that 16 and 17 and those other boys that we talked about. I mean, we got great things we can tell about them, but this 18-year-old boy, you know, when he got to be 17, he decided he didn't want anything. You know, he didn't want to do what his parents wanted him to do, and he wanted to go back to, he was in the Christian school. I want to go to public school. And so he went to the public school, and he started pumping weights and everything, and I'm going to be a football player, and he was going to, got a college scholarship and was going to go play football, and really haphazardly came to church, didn't want to. And 18 years of age, Brother Meyer, his brother walked in to get him up to go to church, and he was dead in bed. Autopsy report showed nothing. They have no reason, there's nothing, just listed cardiac arrest because there was nothing else they could put down. But his life was over. There's really nothing to tell about his life. There's no tale that I can tell you that's a good tale. And that was 18 years and his life was over with. And I can tell you about people that are up in, I can tell you about people that started out good. And they lived their life and they did things well. And then all of a sudden something got involved in their life. I got preacher friends whose life's over. Preacher friends that have taken their own life because of sin, because of things that were involved in their life. They started out well, but they finished out terrible, and nobody talks about them anymore. If they do talk about them, Brother Meyer, they don't talk about what the good things that they did at the beginning. They talk about what happened in the end. Why? Because the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. If you sit here today and you're not where you ought to be with the Lord and your life is not accomplishing wherever you fit in on this timeline, wherever you fit in, your life is not fulfilling and not accomplishing what you know God wants out of your life, the wonderful thing about it it's never too late to change. You have an opportunity to maybe get some things right today. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've not been busy about your work. I'm sorry that I've not been faithful to you. I'm sorry that my life's not counting. But God, I want to get busy. I want to get back at it. Man, fall on your face before the Lord. Humble yourself before your Father and begin to be used the way God wants to use your life. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's no better day to trust in him. Hey, the Bible says that behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because you're going to stand before him one day, and the first thing you'll stand before the Lord for is what you did with Jesus. And if you reject him, the Bible says all you have to look forward to for eternity is a lake of fire. That's an awful thing to think about. God doesn't want you to have to do that. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you. But what are you going to do with him? Just what tale is your life telling this morning? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you. You all can be seated. I want to ask you just a couple questions today. Listen, friends, the most important thing is the first question that you'll stand and give an account for. Hey, what have you done with Jesus? How many of you can honestly raise your hand and say, Brother Martin, I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have no doubt about that. I can raise